Thank you so much for the opportunity to share again with you about what God has been doing in Thailand and is still doing. I stand in awe of our God. He's a faithful God. How many of you have never heard me? Have never heard me before? So I don't have to tell old story. Okay, thank you. Because when I was the adult service pastor, Daniel said, "Can you rewind a bit?" You know. So I just thought, okay, for the benefit of those who were not here before. Alright. I just want to say God has been very good and I want to honor God for what He has done, for His presence, His provision, and for fulfilling all His promises in the years that He has led me to Thailand. I first went to Thailand with my late husband. His name was Jerry Koo in April 1980. How many of you were born then? Anybody born? No, huh? Except Mike, I think. 1980. Oh, yeah, this is the youth service, sorry. Okay. And so 1980, I went. I was 25 years old. All right. And our son, Joshua, some of you knew Joshua, know Joshua. He was born in Thailand in December 1980. So I actually got pregnant and gave birth in the first year in the mission field. All right. I think if you go to some mission training, they will tell you it's a no-no. Eh? But in those days, nobody taught me. So it was God's arrangement. All right. And we stayed in Thailand for 2 years and then returned to Singapore. That means Joshua was only 1 year old when we came back to Singapore. And then our daughter Joy was born in Singapore in 1983. And then we went back again. So it means they were in kindergarten when we went back to Thailand in 1985 and 86. All right. And then we only stayed 2 years again, and then we came back again. And it was then that we actually helped pioneer the Yishun Christian Church in Yishun. All right. But then in October 1991, we requested to go back to Thailand again. Joshua was in primary 5, and Joy was in primary 2. Now, how many of you, when you're in primary 5 and primary 2, would like to go to mission? All right. It was a very hard decision because Joshua said, "Mommy, can I finish my PSLE first?" Joy said, "Well, if Gogo finished PSLE, can I also finish my PSLE first?" Alright, so I'm sharing this with you. You realize that in life, there's a lot of milestones and you have to make decisions. But I thank God for both Joshua and Joy, where they eventually, one day, they were so sweet, you know. They held hands, they came before me and they said, "Daddy, Mommy, we decided we will go with you to Thailand." Alright, so you don't have to like become an adult before you decide to serve the Lord. So they started very young. And we were in Thailand for 12 years before Uncle Jerry passed away on December 13, 2003. Now, Joshua was 23 years old then. I think he was already serving in cruise. And our daughter, Joy, was studying in the university. And so it was a very sudden death. And in fact, Joshua was leading a mission team to Thailand when it happened. And Joy went back for holiday. So it all happened during, because it was December, 1 week before Christmas. It wasn't a very nice, it was a very difficult Christmas, not only for us as a family, but for the church as well. So what do you do when your husband that you've been married to for 25 years passed away? Okay, many leaders in Singapore told me, "Dorothy, it's time to come home." All right, and they meant well. And so I decided I should pray about it. But God said to me very clearly, God said to me, "Dorothy, take off your widow's garment and go into the harvest field." Okay, I happened to be reading the book of Ruth and listening to a sermon on Ruth. So at that time, I interpreted those words. You know, sometimes God says certain things to you, you think He meant like that, but actually in the long, after now, I heard that in 2004. Right? So now it's 2018. I realized when God said go into the heart, take off your widow's garment, He had other meanings. Alright? So I thought God meant stop crying. Go and serve me. Alright? And actually it was eventually after that I started the foundation. So I actually started the foundation before I met Uncle Mike. Alright? I was only 48 years old then. So I used it, well, 48 years old, very old. But for me at that time, it still seemed I have many more years to go. So God in His faithfulness brought Uncle Mike into my life. Alright? And Uncle Mike has a destiny of his own. We met in, you know where we met? I think I told you a story the last time. We met in England. Okay? He was from America. I was from Thailand. And we met in England. Alright? And with the blessings of all our family members and spiritual leaders, we got married in July 2005. And currently, we have been serving in Thailand up to today. All right. And I want to say thank you to all of you. Some of you, how many of you have visited Khon Kaen before? Put your hands high. Wave. Wow, quite a number of you, right, have visited Khon Kaen. I think some of you are very young when you first came too. All right. So I want to say thank you for journeying with me all these years. And how many of you know where is Khon Kaen? Those who have not been. Okay, every time I say I come from Khon Kaen, they say, Chiang Mai? No. Okay, very far away. If I take a bus from Khon Kaen to Chiang Mai, it may take me about 10 hours. All right, across the mountain. Okay, if we fly, it's pretty fast. All right. But Khon Kaen is actually an unreached, and the whole area is called the Isan group, and it's an unreached people group. Now, how do you define unreached people group? It's actually a people's group among which there is no indigenous community or believing Christians with adequate numbers and resources to evangelize this people group. That means on their own, if nobody going to help them, they will not be able to evangelize the group. All right? And that whole region that you see, actually if you look at the map of Thailand, it's like an elephant head. All right? It's the part that is the ear of the, all right? And they have about 22 million people there. All right? And statistics show that Thailand has less than 1%, about 1% Christian. But in this particular region, there's only 0.1% Christians. All right? And I want to share with you how I came to start this foundation. I told you the story, right? Uncle Jerry died. Then God told me to take off my widow's garment and go into the harvest field. But, you know, it's very nice sometimes when we have worship service and we talk about harvest field and we go and serve God. But when the rubber hits the road and you realize, then what am I supposed to do next? All right? So what I did was, because Uncle Jerry died, I had to move out of the church, move out of the house, move out of our offices, move out of everything. So I went to stay in the little condo that we bought in Thailand. And then one day I received the news that there is a fire, all right, in a nearby slum. And so I got nothing to do, so I went to help, all right. And because I had worked with the slum, I knew a lot of children in the slum, and the children were crying. And I have worked with about that community for about 8 years before, and the kids were crying. It was this fire, actually, so I want to share with this part of my journey to tell you that, you know, I didn't kind of plan it. I didn't have a 3-year plan, 5-year plan, 10-year plan of how I was going to run my life. All right. So when you walk with God, God sometimes allows things to happen, and sometimes things that seems pretty nasty and things that make you sad, you know. So, I just went through a death, and then now, the very place that I have worked with, the children that I love, their houses have been burned down. So when I was there helping, one big message that came to me during that time was I could see that people of other faiths had a response. Whenever, during that fire disaster, I saw various groups set up tents, you know, they were cooking to feed the people who were crying. And as a Christian, I stood there and I realized that we had no response. Okay. Long story short, I went in to help. I was able to coordinate groups of volunteers to go in and help. And in the course of it, I got to know the people, the officials from the Ministry of Interior who are in charge of the community and the disaster. But every time when I went to help, they would ask me, what foundation you come from, huh? Then I say, I don't have a foundation. I just represent the Christians in Thailand. You know, I really wanted them to know that the Christians care. All right. And it was then after about 2 months that the official said to me, would you like to start a foundation? We can help you. I said, you know, I don't know what to do. And then, we give you all the forms. Just fill in the blanks. You know, and they taught me how to fill in the blanks. But honestly, I didn't even know how to fill because I had no clue what I was going to do. All right. So as a result, I fill in the blanks. And because before Uncle Jerry's death, he was a chairman of Bless Thailand Prayer Network, which is equivalent of Love Singapore. We were coordinating 40-day fast, doing the 40 days prayer manual, prayer summits for the pastors. We were doing National Day of Prayer and prayer walk and so forth. So I thought, okay, let me incorporate this into this foundation. All right. So the vision statement of our foundation was to pioneer and promote, encourage and empower movements for unity and community transformation. So that was how it came about. And I really believe that doing God's work is not promoting my own agenda. It's really promoting God's agenda. All right? His love for the world. His love for a world that is broken. And wherever God places you, at that moment, find out from the Lord, Lord, what is my response? What do you want me to do? You know, not just when, you know, there's an organized event, when, you know, there's something that I can join officially. But day by day, how do I respond to the people around me? So Heart of Hearts, the idea of all this is, because I want to see Christians all over the world working together to bring change in a practical world, in a practical way to a broken world. And then our mission statements were to educate children at risk, which was actually basically what I was doing most of the time, and to strengthen families toward holistic transformation. What's the meaning of children at risk? Are you all children at risk or youth at risk? A lot of time people think that children at risk must be poor people living in the slums, alright? I have discovered it's not true. There are lots of children at risk, alright? And there are lots of youth at risk too. And I have also learned that to work with youth or the children, you have to work with their parents, you have to work with their families. And since for this reason, someone talked about the bus. Our bus is called Heaven in the Home. All right. Basically, we want the family to come together. Okay. And if you see the bus is there. Okay. Having lived in Thailand, I know that this is a very important ministry. I still want to say thank you again to those of you who have contributed, who have sacrificially given for this bus. You know, it's a very nice bus, actually. Okay. Many of you gave sacrificially. There was a lady I know, in Coos who actually gave up her savings to buy a Mercedes so that we could buy the bus. Alright. She put in a big chunk of her Mercedes money. Okay. Some of you gave up your holidays and some of you, you know, we are also comfortable here that actually the stuff that we want may not be the stuff that we need. And if you just make a difference, God can actually help us. So this bus has been going in places. And now also I want to show you this picture, the map of... Okay. And every time Auntie Dorothy come here, I will share with you a new project. Alright. When I was younger, people always tell me, Dorothy, why do you always start new things? I said, because... we have a God who is interested in, He's a creator, you know, He creates new things. And so when He gives us new ideas, don't store it away, put it into practice. And I think last year I shared that, when I spoke, an architect from Coos actually volunteered to help. So this is the plan that came forth from the architect and his friends. They drew a plan and this is the sketch model for the building that will happen. Now I'm standing with you in 2018, all right? Prayerfully, in 2-3 years' time, I will tell you the building is completed, all right? Just that you all work very hard and we saw how the new wings have been built. So there's always a process, but it can happen. So in the end, the Thai architect actually converted the plans. We had to convert all the Singapore English plan to Thai plan, all right? So now I'm telling you about our mission. Sometimes you have many steps to do before you can get there. All right? Because we had to submit to the Thai authorities. And then we had to sit on the plan. nothing happened because when we submitted, the authorities didn't say very much except to tell us this is the green zone. So in green zone, it means it's meant for agriculture. Meant to grow paddy, not to build schools. All right. So we had approval difficulty. But just last month, August 2018, I got a notice and I was told the whole area has been rezoned. It's now no more green, it's pink. I don't know why it's pink, but because of that, now we can build. All right. So I was so happy. And also just this week, I was informed that our Harvest Learning Center has been accredited with the Ministry of Education. And so we will actually, when we build this, this will actually be a center where children can study. And most of the children who study with us cannot afford, okay? So they're poor children or children from families that cannot afford an international school. But they will be able to have an education and be fully accredited by the Ministry of Education as well as from America. Because Mr. Mike Jason, my dear husband, is the principal of the school. So we are running an American system education. The children speak English, and now they all speak American English because Uncle Mike taught them all the stuff. Okay. And outside we have a booth if you feel that God is speaking to you to give. Now, don't say I'm a youth and I cannot give, all right? Because God has amazing ways where He will provide. And I think all of you have a saving bank. Okay. So my next slide. It's this very important verse from Proverbs 19:17 that says, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will reward them for what they have done. Most of our children in this program cannot afford to pay the fee because it's an international education. Their curriculum, their books are all shipped from America. All right. It is actually an international education. Only the rich can afford. But my dream is not to be a Robin Hood, but to be able to give poor children, just because my parents are poor, I cannot have as good education as you because your parents can afford it. So I believe that Papa God is in the business of really blessing these children. So we created a study loan. You know, imagine some of our parents said, you know, in Thailand, they only offer this to very bright university students. But we created a study loan for all our poor kids and said, never mind, you just study. All right, but it's a loan. Nobody gets free education. It's a loan. When you finish, you graduate, you can come back and teach if we want you. All right. If we don't want you, you go outside and work and you pay back the loan. But the lawyer said to me, Dorothy, you know this loan agreement that you have, this contract, there's no collateral, you know. So what happened if they don't pay back? I said, well, if they don't pay back, it means our education failed. All right? We have not taught them to be honest. But we really trust the Lord that He will provide and that these children, the dream is eventually for these Thai children to grow the ministry. Alright, that they will continue and take on the leadership. But we estimate that maybe for the next 10 years, we will need foreigners who can speak English to coach them until they are able to do it. Alright? I mean, I look at Singapore today, I realize that many of us are in schools where our principals and all are local people. Alright? But when I was in school, I remember my principal. You know, that was a very long time ago when I was in school. Alright. My principal was a British lady. Alright. Some of my teachers were from England. Because Singapore at that time was just developing. Alright. And, we didn't have the right teachers. But those teachers taught our Singaporean teachers. And later on, the next generation, we didn't need all the overseas teachers already. So I see that as something that has happened for Singapore. And we can do it for Thailand as well. Okay, the other thing about, can you show the lending money one, the slide first? I want to share with you this part about money, because money, a lot of us, okay, God has given us money, and money is for you to do what? Buy things, enjoy, go for holiday, go to nice eating places with your friends, right? But actually, beside money being a blessing to you, God wants you to make the money a blessing to others. But I just had this picture. You know, so many of us, when you get money, what do? We in queue in the bank, right? And then you put your money in the bank. Do you know what you are doing when you put your money in the bank? you loan your money to the bank. Correct? And the bank invests your money in Korea, in Japan, everywhere in the world. All right? It's a good thing to save money. But now I believe that, would you queue to give your money to the Lord? Strange question, right? But very often, we queue, you know, how long is a queue? We queue to put our money in the bank. All right? But today I want to ask you to queue to give your money to the Lord. Whether it's $1, $2, $5, $10, would you queue to give your money to the Lord? Lend it to the Lord, all right? The interest is very high because you can collect it in heaven where the streets are made of gold, all right? Okay. Okay, that's so much for promotion. Let's move on to... I want to show you a video of what we do in Thailand, what we have done so far. I know you saw one some time back. But I want to show you a video of what we do in the whole foundation. Okay. This is the bus. We had a major flood end of last year. So this bus went to 7 provinces in Thailand, in northeast Thailand. We now have 25 children. It's a homeschool program where you study, self-study program, where you study at your own pace. We have children from 5 years old to about almost 16 years old. Children come to school about 7 a.m. for quiet time. We have chapel once a week. It's our end of year banquet. Kids can translate. It's harvest time. The harvest is plentiful in northeast Thailand. What is the Lord of the harvest saying to you? Okay, today's sermon will be called Jesus Commands My Destiny. And I want to tell you that Jesus is the safest person in the world that you can entrust yourself to. All right? And destiny. What is destiny? Some people, in Thailand, we find it very hard to translate this word because people always think destiny is fate. You're fated to be smart, you are smart. You're fated to pass your exam, you will pass. You're fated to fail, you will fail. Alright? Or you're fated to be rich or poor. But actually, in our Christian understanding, destiny is what God has in store for my life and my future. It is a walk of faith as I listen to God day by day. Alright? Remember Abraham, when he left his home country. Alright? He had not many directions from God except to follow step by step. So Jesus, he allowed Jesus to be at the control, and he followed the commands of Jesus. All right. So our destiny, but however, please understand, our destiny is not just for I, me, and myself. Very often, in a country like Singapore, all right. I still remember when I was leading Koo's kid, I asked one of the kids, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" See, anything that will make a lot of money. Is that what our destiny is going to be? Is that what will define our destiny? Alright? So, please understand, when God promised Abraham that if you leave this place, you know, I will be with you, and I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing to the nations. So, our destiny is not just for us alone, but our destiny is for us to be a blessing. We are born to be a blessing. Not only to our own country, our own family, but to the nations. That's why God says in Psalms, you know, ask of me for the nations. Would you ask God for the nations? And at the end of the day, your destiny is your choice. Abraham chose to obey God. And so today we look back and say, wow, how God has blessed. But what if Abraham chose not to obey? We wouldn't have known what he had missed. All right? So often, our destiny really is our choice to obey or not to obey. And how many of you got a bookmark when you came into the service? Oh, very few. Who doesn't have one? Can you lift up your hands so that the ushers can give you one? Who doesn't have a bookmark? Put it up high. Okay. Right, this bookmark is very, 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 has a story behind it. One of our girls was a volunteer. She said, one day she came to me and she said, "I have a dream, Auntie Dorothy." Oh, we all believe a lot in dreams, huh? Some people may think we're a little bit, whack. But really, God speaks to us in dreams, alright? God spoke to Solomon in dreams. God spoke to Joseph in dreams. And God speaks in dreams. So, she said God gave her a dream of Auntie Dorothy giving out rainbow fish. Sending out rainbow fish. So she decided she would design me a rainbow fish. Alright, so this was her design. And then we decided to give it out as a bookmark. So actually the scripture for today, is here in this rainbow fish. It says Luke 10 verse 2, "The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields." Okay? Actually, the symbol of the fish is not a Christian symbol. It started as a pagan symbol, all right? But during the time of the persecutions, Christians decided to take on this symbol as a way to indicate that, you know, where they have been and so forth. And because it was not uniquely a Christian original, it was a very safe symbol to use. But today, I think today everybody identifies this as a Christian symbol. So I pray that we will use this symbol. As you look at this bookmark, remember that Jesus has called us to be fishers of men. And the job is very big and it cannot be done alone. Alright? How many of you have been to do harvesting in Thailand before? Okay? Some of you do it for a few hours only, right? But in the real harvest, you know, you need workers and they have to work very hard to bring in the harvest, alright? And nowadays you have these big combines, they will just go and gather up the harvest. But in, for us, even this coming year, we will need to do it by hand because when we plant rice of different variety, you can't just take a combine and collect everything. So there are different reasons for using manual labor. And looking at this verse, it says, harvest is great, but workers are few. I just remember last week, Uncle Mike said to me, Dorothy, I think you should not work so hard. Yeah. Then I said, yeah, I agree. I also agree. I should not work so hard. So I asked Uncle Mike, what do you think I should stop doing so that I don't have to work so hard? So he thought for some time. Then he said, I also don't know. Because there's so much to do, you know. It's not that you had nothing to do and you're trying to create work, okay? So we are praying really that God will send us laborers and sending people who will join us. Yet at the same time, I want to say that before we can go, many of you are young people, before you can go, you need God to prepare you, all right? You need God to build your character. And one of the saddest things sometimes about Christian service is that we don't build our character strong enough, we don't prepare ourselves strong enough that we can last the difficulties in the harvest field. Okay? And now I want to share with you a few Bible verses that we will read together. Actually, when I asked God, what should I do when I want to preach about the harvest? Okay, this was a scripture that we had already. And the Lord said to me, Ruth. I was like, huh, Ruth? It didn't quite, yeah. But now, the more I study into it, I realize God has a reason for the choice of this book. Ruth, many people believe that Samuel was probably the writer of the author of Ruth. All right, and Ruth was written during the time of the judges. The judges was a time when things were unstable. There were a lot of troubles in Israel, and everybody did what was right in their own sight. Okay, there was strife, there were evil, there was lawlessness, and throughout the whole time of the judges. All right, but the story of Ruth offers us an insight into how blessing and guidance of God can be bestowed. God can give us His blessing and guidance even during very difficult times. All right. So here we see how when Ruth committed her life to God, what a difference it made. So can you all help me to read together? Ruth 2, reading from verse 8. Let's start. Ready, go. So, to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women I have told. Oh yeah, don't lay hands on you. And whenever you're thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. Okay, and let's go on to the next verse. As she got up to glean, Jesus gave orders to his men, let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up and don't rebuke her. And next. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town. And her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. And the next verse, Law asked her, where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. The name of the man I work with today is Boaz, she said. And fine. And then next verse. The Lord blessed him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. She added, that man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers. Then Ruth the Moabite said, he even said to me, stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grains. And finally, Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and wheat harvests are finished. And she lived with her mother-in-law. Okay, actually, if you read the last verse, it says the barley and the wheat harvest. It's known that the barley harvest is usually maybe during February and March. And then the wheat harvest will start almost near the end of the barley harvest. So all in all, Ruth could have been working in the field for about 4 or 5 months. All right, and she followed her mother-in-law's instruction and stayed in a very safe place. Now, I have a question for all of us. Do we all listen to instructions when... You know, Ruth, this is Ruth, she's a widow and she decided to follow her mother-in-law to a strange land. All right, but here she is, she's a grown adult. But she decided to put herself under the covering of her mother-in-law. And she followed through. And you could see that she had a lovely relationship with her mother-in-law. You know, all of you may have read enough cartoons and comic strips. You know, people make fun of mother-in-laws and daughter-in-laws, you know, because it's not supposed to be a good relationship that will work out. But actually in life, God has come to redeem relationships. And so no matter where God places us, if we believe that God is a redeemer, He can redeem relationships. All right? Because I know we are young people here, and many times we all have difficulties in relationship. And at every juncture in your relationship, I want to advise us here all, listen to what God is saying. All right? And it's very important, because as you see how Naomi instructed Ruth, and how she followed. And even Boaz came along. Boaz is like the boss of the harvest, and the lord of the harvest. And he gave instructions to his workers. You know, drop some grains for her to pick up and things like that. But what happened if people don't know how to follow instructions? What happened if all the workers here, we grow all this stuff. We want to harvest it for ourselves. All right. So in life, you know, God has laid down certain principles. God wants us to share what we have. But now I'm talking about following instructions, because that is a youth service. I think it's a very important point. And the instructions here that we want to follow, don't tell God, you know, God, I want to follow you to the end of the world and I want to serve you. I want to do the greatest thing for you, you know. But when God gives you a simple instructions like go wash dishes, go say sorry to your parents, humble yourself. Oh yeah, I tell you, you say it's so hard. It's so hard. But you can't even do that. You know, all the big dreams, it will be very hard to come together. I give you this example because when I was a young, I was young. Okay, I'm in my 60s now, so I was young. Okay, when I got married, I still remember, you know, I have a mother-in-law. And actually now I have two mother-in-law. Mike's mother is my mother-in-law, and Uncle Mike's mother is my mother-in-law, and Uncle Jerry, who has gone to heaven, but his mother is still around. And so my mother-in-law. So I have two mother-in-laws. And I thank God for my mother-in-laws, right? And because, actually you must understand, why I don't have difficulties with mother-in-laws, because if I love my husband, it's the mother who gave birth to my husband. So I have to honor my mother-in-law and love them. But were there difficulties in relationship? Of course. I still remember there was once, I can't remember the details, but my mother-in-law was not happy with me. You know, and I was very young, and we were just married not long. And I still remember God, and I was praying about it. You know, you don't want to get into trouble with your mother-in-law. And so what do? I still remember God saying to me, "Dorothy, go and talk to your mother-in-law. Your mother-in-law knows Jesus. Go talk. Go pray together." And you know, I was so thankful to God. I obeyed. And I did. And you know, ever since that day, we prayed together. We talked. We opened our hearts. We became friends. And today, my mother-in-law is one of my greatest friends. All right? And when Uncle Jerry passed away, my mother-in-law was one who said to me, "Dorothy, you are still young. You need to remarry." All right. So when I met Uncle Mike and I told my mother-in-law, she was so happy. And so at our wedding, and my uncle Mike and I got married, my mother-in-law was the one who signed on our marriage cert. You know, I just want to let you know that God is a redeemer. God can restore relationship. Don't buy the lies of the devil that, you know, you don't understand my father and my mother are the most difficult people in the world. It's not true. That's the lie of the enemy. The Lord put you in a family. The Lord give you parents. And if there are difficulties, ask God, seek God for instructions, for wisdom, and have the courage and the humility to walk through those steps that God has shown us. There are some very basic principles in relationships, all right? And God wants to help us work through that. So I somehow feel that's a very important point to bring across. Okay, today I want to share you... Wow, 6 o'clock already. I just got limited time. I want to share you about harvesting principles, okay? Don't just try to do mission trip once in a blue moon, all right? That's very good, and it's good that, but don't become mission trippers, I call that, where you go Thailand, you go Indonesia, you go Vietnam, you go Cambodia, you go to Nepal, then you say, you know, I've been a missionary to 14 countries. Okay? Sounds great. But that may be good for a start if you just want to have a look. You know, like you go for a buffet like that, right? You look at all the food available. At the end of the day, you have to decide what you want to eat. Don't decide to eat everything, all right? Because you'll be in trouble. Okay? So, the same thing when you are wanting to serve God, especially if God has brought you, you're part of Coos Youth, this is your first harvest field. And then you go out. Alright? Be willing to work hard. Be willing to put your hands to the plow to work. Don't always think that somebody else is going to do the job. Alright? And know your leader and follow instructions. Just like I talk about Boaz and his workers follow instructions. Do you know that because of their obedience, Ruth stayed in the field for 4 or 5 months. But imagine if they refused to drop all the grains for her. She may have gone to another field. But you know that Ruth is actually the great-grandmother of King David. And eventually from that line came Jesus, our Savior, the Messiah. So you do not know what's the future, all right? But follow instructions. Learn how to cooperate. Stick with your team. You know, when we do harvesting in Thailand, especially when you have a team of workers, let's say you have 12 workers, we don't just everybody scatter and do your own thing. But we decided we will stay together and you move together as a team. So that your harvest field doesn't look like as though you have a bad haircut, you know. Okay? So stick with your team and stay throughout the harvest. You know, some jobs are not very fun, alright? You have to stay on and you will see the end result. I want to show you the pictures of this group of harvesters. They are, actually, this was our team last year where we really didn't have help. We had to go out. You know how we found them? And this is real, where the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. We actually, one of our staff actually went to the market and said, anybody can help with harvesting. All right? And we found this group of people who have already harvested their own fields. So they decided to come and help us. Of course, we gave them some wages at the end of the day too. So that was how it happened. I want to skip very quickly to the next slide. Would you read with me? Matthew 18, 12 to 14. Okay, ready, go. Okay, this is from Matthew 18, 12 to 14. You know, Singapore has almost, or maybe 20% Christians. All right. Thailand has about 1%. That's why I always tell people, it's in Thailand, it's not leave the 99 to look for the one. It's leave the one to look for the 99. Alright? And actually, 50% of this 1% live in where most of you are familiar, Chiang Mai, Chiang Rai, and Mae Hong Son. Three provinces makes up almost 50% of the Christians in Thailand. And where we are in Northeast Thailand is about 0.1% Christians. All right? And I pray that, but whether Singapore or Thailand, there are still many people who do not know Jesus. They're like that lost sheep. And how do you look at people when you walk past people on the streets or your classmates who do not know Jesus? Well, the Lord has taught me when I look at people on the streets is to realize that they're my brothers and my sisters. They are all created by our Heavenly Father. It's just that they don't know He's our Father, their Father. All right? So there are times when I walk, especially in the street, I remember the days when the Lord first started speaking to me about this. I will walk the streets, especially in Bangkok, and I say, this motorbike rider, he's my brother. The prostitute over there, she's my sister. And what will I do to help them? So God will speak to us differently and show us many things. But people do not care what you say till they know you care about them. So ask God for creative ways to show how you care. I know Kuz is into a lot of community services and all that, and those are great. All right, but even in your personal life, every day, you know, how would you show somebody that you care? All right, your friends and your neighborhood and so forth. So everyone has a part to play in the harvest. Just keep asking God to show you. And this picture of the 1% and 99 on the screen, I just want to tell you that there are many people who need help. I actually answered an altar call when I was about 17, 18 years old. All right. And I didn't know what I was signing up for. I remember it was a meeting in a very traditional church. And nobody was responding to the altar call. Nobody. Absolutely none. You know, the final hymn, you know. But in my heart, I just wanted to go up. But do you go up if there's nobody else doing up? So I decided I'll go up. Maybe other people will follow after that. But lo and behold, I was the only one who went up in that whole service. All right? I remember I went up, I knelt down. In the end, the speaker came and prayed for me. But there was no other response. But I have always remembered that day as the day where, you know, when we sing the song, though none go with me, I still will follow. That I will go. I will not go in because my friends are going. I'm not doing this because my friends are doing it. But God is speaking, and though I have to go and make a difference. So God's word to me all the years that I've been asking. I remember a time I said, God, how do I help the poor and needy? And God said, just go and love them. Any way God tell me to do, I will just do it, okay? So go and love them. Go love them till they wake up one morning and wonder why they love Jesus. I'm sure there's more than 101 way that we all can do that in Singapore to show that we love. The next slide, you see the bus. It looks as though the bus has a cross on top. Actually, there's a church behind with a cross, all right? Happened we parked this in front of this small church with a cross on top, all right? So this bus is, actually I want to share with you, when God showed me a picture of a bus, I didn't know why He wanted a bus. I thought it was very extravagant, okay? But in the end, when we got the bus, I saw how the bus was opening doors into villages that previously would not open doors to us, all right? But when they see the bus, looks like a government official from the government department coming in, you know? And then through the pastors' network and our people who were willing to come around us, this bus is now not just serving Khon Kaen, but this bus is now going along the Mekong River, going into different villages. And I no longer use the bus. The pastors of the Love Isan Network is using a bus. All right. And I want to say that, you know, God's agenda and our agenda is very different. But if we will truly let God speak to us and move our encourage, you will see the difference. All right. And I'm going to share you this verse from Psalm 13:7-8. This is the reason why I started the Harvest Learning Center, or I rather agreed to start, because I was so tired. I didn't want to start an educational program because I said, God, educational program, you know, you cannot stop. Not like any other project you do. After 3 months, you don't like it, you close down. But you can't do that for a school. And the Lord said, He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He sits them with princes and the princes of His people. You know, when you see a verse like that, you say, great God, you should do this. You should raise the poor from the dust. And then God say, and the verse say, He, God, you do it lah. And God say, huh? Who is He? He is God, right? And God, Jesus is the head of the church. So we are the body. We are the hands and feet. So when you say He raises the poor, it means we. Not God is going to do it magically through a supernatural touch. But God needs us to be His hands and feet, to go and love the needy and the poor. Alright? And actually, these days when I walk around in Singapore, I realize that there are many needy and poor people around. You know, some of my Thai friends who come to Singapore were horrified. They say, in Thailand, we will never let elderly people serve, clean the table, throw trash, because they are elderly. In Thailand, they say, Mike and I say, Thailand is the best place to grow old because they really serve the elderly. They carry your bags for you, you know, things like that. But here, so I want to share with us too, even as we live in Singapore, as you see so many poor and needy around, would you put that few coins for an old man who's singing a song? Would you put in a dollar or two for someone who wants to sell you tissue paper or whatever? You know, sometimes we rationalize and say, hey, they make so much money and things like that. Would you want to be the person singing the song? Or do you want to be the one selling the tissue paper? Very often, because of lack, because of their poverty, they have to do these things. So I pray that we will become the body of Christ, that will go out and reach the poor and needy that are around us. And this slide, vision versus execution. All right, as you can see, vision makes up about 10%. And execution, 90%. Alright? There is a verse in the Bible from Proverbs 29:18 that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And it's true, we need vision, alright? So, we have to have visions. But there's also another verse in the Bible in James 2:26 that says, and as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds, without works, is dead. So, As a community of God's people here, okay, if we just work and do church without a vision, or because it's Saturday, you know, we just have to do church, then what happens at the end of the day, we will all perish. You can do a lot of church, you can do church, and we will still perish. But if we just talk vision, you know how sometimes we can just sit down and have plan and vision, you know, but have no action and no execution, we will still perish. People will still perish. Alright? So, I want to encourage all of us. Well, it's very important to study God's Word, go to Bible study, go to cell groups, and do all the right thing to get in the Word of God. Remember that increasing knowledge may also increase pride. Bible says, you know, knowledge puffs up. You know, I've seen people who go to healing seminars. And at the end of the day, you feel almost you can heal anybody. But actually, you haven't prayed for anybody. Because when you study about it, you almost feel that you have done it. And that is the danger of religion. Alright? So, let's be very careful. Resist the culture of learning or teaching without doing. You notice if you read the scripture, Jesus usually do and teach. Alright? So, remember, whatever you have learned from the scripture, study your Bible, but do the Bible too. All right? So today I want to encourage all of us to listen to what God is saying to us. He commands our destiny. and he will never go wrong. You all have I'm already 63 years old. All right? Some of you are, how old? 12 years old? 14, 15, 16? Wow! You have a lifetime ahead of you. And if you will commit your life to allow Jesus to command your destiny, I tell you, the sky is the limit. All right? So, finally, I want to share you to look at this bookmark again. Will you pray as you look at this bookmark? The harvest is great, but the workers are few. Okay, there's a harvest everywhere. I'm not talking about harvest in Thailand. There's a harvest everywhere. Okay, will you pray to the Lord of the harvest where he will position you? All right, and where he has positioned you, be faithful. All right, help each other. There are different work at different times, all right? Different fields, like the wheat and the barley, they ripen at different time. All right? So, thank you for helping Thailand. Don't forget to visit our booth, or send us an email. And also, would you let him command your destiny as we sing this final song? In Christ alone. Will you allow him to direct you on what you should do next? Okay. I like us to sing this song with a difference. I know all of you love to jump around. But I would like us first to sit down first. Okay. Sit down and sing the song. As you consider how you can be a people of passion, you have one life. In Thailand, they believe you have many lives. So that's a kind of, over here, we believe there's only one life to live. All right? And you have a long one life ahead of you, okay? So decide how you will walk with God and how you will trust him and let him rekindle whatever there's amongst you. So as we sing this song, as you sing, let the Spirit of God ministers to you. Take your time to slowly stand up, okay? If you are drifting, you feel yourself very aimless, you are lost, stand up to tell the Lord that you want him to be your anchor. All right? But if you have lost your fire, maybe something happened, you're upset, okay, stand to ask Jesus to rekindle that fire and tell him that you're willing to burn for him again. But if you're already on fire, okay, some of you are really on fire, I could see it, all right? If you're already on fire, stand up and tell Jesus, I want a bigger fire. Can you blow a stronger wind? You know, fan up the flames so that, we will have a forest fire, okay? All right? And whatever it is, as you sing the song, the Spirit of God speaks to you. Okay, will you take your stand? Okay, let's sing.
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, come through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ. In the ground, his body lay, light of the world by
Saying that there are a few amongst you, maybe several, that has a call upon your life, like me when I was 17 years old, asking God what I should do. But when He spoke to me, I say, God, I'm willing. I feel there's a special call on some of you to go to the nations. If you feel God has been speaking to you, you don't know when, you don't know how, you don't know how it's going to happen, but you are willing. As we sing this song one more round, would you just come forward and come to Jesus and commit yourself to be ready that the Lord of the harvest will send you out to the nations.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness. By the one He came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid, here in the death of Christ I lay. He returns, all calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Before I close in prayer, I'd like to request those of you who have come forward to just stand along the line, that the green line, is it? Yeah, just stand in one line. That same way I say, like, you know, when we have a harvest, we line up, you know, we line up. Just stand on the line. If you will, just stand on the line. And I want to invite Uncle Mike to come and pray for you. Okay. Uncle Mike is a man of faith. He's been a teacher for 25 years in America, and now he's a principal of a center in Thailand. And can this one be used?
It's exciting to see all these volunteers here on the line. I can't wait to see what God's going to do with you in this generation. Let me lift you up in prayer before Him now. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for the way you've touched the hearts of these young people here on this line. Thank you, God. I lift them up before you and ask that you will just make this a night that will, for some it's the first time maybe, but for others maybe you've been leading them already. But in any event, put this night in their mind as a night where they will remember, and that they will continue to look to you from this time forward, listening for your voice, looking for the signs along the way, and being sure to obey. And I pray also, Lord, that in the times ahead you'll strengthen the character of each young man and each young lady.
Yes,
prepare them so that when they go out, they'll be ready to stand. They'll be prepared to stand, and they'll be prepared to bring your light into some of the darkest parts of the earth in the days ahead, I pray. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Amen. And Father, we acknowledge you that you are the Lord of the harvest. We pray, God, that you will show each one of us, Lord, whether we are in our seats or we are up here, that you will show us our part in this end-time global harvest. Send us out, Lord, wherever you want us to be, Lord, and keep us faithful. Help us to be faithful. Make us a people of vision and passion, a people who will allow you to command our destiny. And I speak your blessing over every young person living, standing here, God, that they will fulfill their destiny as they allow you to command their destiny. Thank you again, Lord, that we are born at such a time as this. Thank you, Father, for the privilege of being your children, the privilege of becoming history makers. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.